This is a special edition of the Daily Drum. We go live now to Harold Fisher and his guests at Ebenezer AME Church in Port Washington, Maryland.
Thank you so much for joining us, everyone. Primary election day in Maryland is 2 weeks away on June 26th. One of the most hotly contested races is going in Prince George's County, Maryland. Tonight, we will hear from four of the candidates hoping to lead what is often called one of the wealthiest counties in the nation. From education to crime to quality of life issues, we're putting the issues that matter to the candidates, and you'll have an opportunity to chime in. Follow the conversation on Twitter at WHURFM or Ebenezer AME. Make sure that you use the hashtag WHURDebate or MyEbenezer. This debate is being streamed live on WHUR.com and on EbenezerAME.org. Let's introduce you to the candidates. See Anthony Muse, a Maryland State Senator. Prince George's County State's Attorney Angela Alsobrooks. Paul Montero, a former Obama administration official, and former Maryland Congresswoman Donna Edwards. Here. Here are the ground rules. Each candidate will have 1 minute opening statement. That's hard for politicians, but we're going to get that happening, okay? They will also have 30 seconds to answer a question from me or the audience and a 30-second rebuttal if necessary. Okay, let's get to it. The opening statement, Mr. Muse, you're first.
Thank you very much and good evening, and all praises to God for his goodness, and I'm glad that you're here. Thank you, Mr. Fisher and WHUR for sponsoring this, and Pastor Grange and Joanne Browning. I'm happy to be at this debate, probably the last debate, and I'm happy that it's held in the district where I have served for over 16 years, the greatest district, 26th legislative district. I'm happy to be here. I have lived and been a part of this great district for over 34 years. Coming from Baltimore, where for the first 10 years of my life, it was a domestic violence filled home. I lived on the streets in Baltimore from 10 to 12 years old and finally got adopted by a preacher. I'm here tonight to ask you for your permission to be the county executive, and I will base that on my record and will have a chance to explain that throughout this night. I thank you so very much for this privilege and looking forward to this debate.
Thank you very much, Senator. Angela Alsobrooks.
Good evening, and thank you everyone for being here tonight. I want to thank WHUR for hosting and Ebenezer AME Church for hosting us as well tonight. I am Angela Alsobrooks. I'm a proud, lifelong resident of Prince George's County, and it's been my great honor to serve this community in public service over the last 21 years, including the last 7 as your elected state's attorney. During that time, we have cut violent crime by 50%, but we still have much to do to improve the performance and reputation of our school system, to deliver quality retail and the government services that you deserve. My vision for our future includes improving our schools, keeping our communities safe, opening the doors for business to do, for the doors of opportunity for business, and also ensuring that everyone has access to affordable health care. I'm looking forward to the discussion tonight and looking forward to discussing the future of Prince George's County. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Paul Montero.
Good evening. Giving all praise and honor to God, I'm Paul Montero, candidate for county executive. Thank you to Mr. Fisher and WHUR and Ebenezer for hosting this great forum. I'm the second of 5 kids born to teenage parents. First in my family to graduate high school. Prince George's County has been good to me. Graduated from High Point High School, went on to University of Maryland, then Howard University for law school. I currently serve as the chief of staff at Howard University today. In 2006, I met a guy named Barack Obama who changed my life. Started working for him in his Senate office, went to his first campaign, White House staff for 5 years, then ran AmeriCorps VISTA, the Domestic Peace Corps, a program with a budget of almost $100 million. And then in the last year of the administration, ran the Justice Department program focused on community and police relationships. I'm running because 2018 is not a regular year, a year where the War on Drugs Part 2 is back. We have to be serious about what's happening to our public school system and what opportunities are we giving to our young people. The water was brown in my 5th grade class in 1990, and it's still brown in a lot of the public schools in this county as we're putting $2 billion in this system.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Montero.
Thank you very much. Good evening. I'm Donna Edwards, and I am so delighted to be here with WHUR, Pastors Browning at Ebenezer, and of course the Prince George's Chamber of Commerce and the NAACP of Prince George's County. I began my life here in Prince George's County 35 years ago, right around the corner from Ebenezer in an apartment, where I first moved, and then like many people who chose to live in Prince George's County, I chose to live in Prince George's County to make it my home, where I've raised my son, who's almost 30 years old, who's lived his life here in Prince George's County as well. I am delighted to be a candidate for County Executive of Prince George's County, having been an activist, an engineer, an executive in philanthropy, and of course serving in the United States House of Representatives, the first African-American woman elected to the House of Representatives from Maryland. I want to serve Prince George's County because I believe that we have opportunities for innovation, development, education, and accountability and transparency in Prince George's County.
Thank you.
I look forward to the discussion tonight.
Thank you, Ms. Edwards. Let's get to the questions. Our first topic is education. Ms. Edwards, I'll start with you. A recent audit of the county school system found that hundreds of students did not earn the high school diplomas they were awarded. Who is responsible for that, and how do you fix it?
Well, I think the buck stops with the county executive and the superintendent of schools. I think what has happened in Prince George's County with our school system is shameful. I think the way that you fix it is you take the money off the top of the system and you put it down in the classroom. You increase the pay of teachers. You have more teachers teaching fewer students so that we can increase performance in our system, and you have accountability and transparency in the way that it's done. I'm delighted to have the support of the Prince George's County educators, 9,000 educators who believe that I am the one to lead us forward in Prince George's County.
Thank you so much. Same question, Senator Muse. Who is responsible for the results of this audit, and how do you fix it?
Thank you. In 2016, 17, and again in 18, when it wasn't popular, I did call for the resignation of Dr. Maxwell. The buck stops there. He came, they brought him, and he said, we will fix these problems, and it has not yet been done. More than who is responsible, how do you get involved, and how do you fix that? I'm glad that I have been endorsed by the Educators Association of Supervisory and Administrative Personnel, because I stood up for our students when it was time to stand up. I not only called for his resignation, but also called for us to return to an elected school board where we could have some accountability and public input.
Thank you so much. That brings me to my next question. Ms. Olso-Brooks, do you support a fully elected school board or the current appointed elected hybrid, and why?
I support a fully elected school board. This is recommended by the National Education Association. There's also a historical context for having an elected board. What I must say, however, is I recall when there was an all-appointed board, an all-elected board, and a hybrid, and what we must acknowledge is that it hasn't made a shred of difference over the last 25 or 30 years. And so I say elected, but the work of moving forward, this school system requires much more comprehensive change. It requires a cultural change, the way we approach education and the way that we focus on children.
Thank you. Mr. Montero, same question. Hybrid or a fully elected board, and why?
Fully elected because I believe in democracy, but that can't be the end of the conversation. When I was in the public school system 25 years ago, we had a fully elected board, and some of the same dysfunction that's going on in 2018 is still going on several superintendents later. So that can be a starting point, but it can't be the end point. People should have a say in how the school system that educates their kids is run, for sure. But at the end of the day, the audit reveals it. I mean, and be even beyond the grade changing. Why can't you tell me in 30% of the sample set, show me the documents that prove I'm a legitimate graduate? I mean, the lack of systems, but I'm not going to blame a teacher for it. I think leadership has pressured them to change grades.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Mr. Edwards, as a product of the Prince George's County school system, I've seen a whole lot of superintendents, CEOs, leaders, whatever you want to call them. There have been quite a bit of them. How can the Prince George's County school system live up to the promise that this county has had for decades? And why is it where it is now?
Let me just say that I don't think it's only about money. Prince George's County school system spends about the same amount per pupil as we do in other surrounding systems that are successful. I think that it's really important for us to have accountability in the system. We, in fact, although it seems that we've had a lot of superintendents, across the country the average tenure of a superintendent is 3 years. We need to make sure that we have a superintendent who's committed to lowering class size, improving student performance, investing in our educators in the classroom.
Ms. Alsobrooks, we have seen some horrific crimes in our school system. Sexual molestation, child abuse by employees. How can we protect our children in the school system?
So I think we first of all have to better screen the people that we are hiring to interface with our children. There's a way to discover ahead of time the record and the background of people that we allow into our school system. So we simply are going to have to do a better job there. The other part of it is training. We have to make sure that we are training the individuals who interface with our school's children every day to recognize the signs of child sexual abuse. So this is a big issue. I've been a part of training over the last year, the members of our school system in a program called Darkness to Light. But we can't send people into the school system ignorant, and we must be aggressive in rooting out individuals with backgrounds that would indicate they would harm a child.
Mr. Muse, same question for you. Different question on the same topic. Why do you suppose we are consistently seeing so many criminal cases of child sex abuse in the Prince George's County school system?
One, we have to be honest and upfront and address the issue. We can't sweep it under the rug. We spend too much time sweeping it under the rug because persons are afraid it will hurt their reputation. In the meantime, it's our children who are being hurt. Until we come up with an adjudication process that is fair and right, and one in which we have people who are on the ground, we have parents, we used to have parents involved in education, we used to have teachers' aides, we don't have that at all. We hide the problems, we don't deal with the problems, and then we move people around from school to school when they've been found guilty. That must stop.
Mr. Montero, if you were county executive, would you want to pick the superintendent or CEO, or would you want to leave that up to the board, and why do you think it makes a difference?
I think it needs to be left up to the board because, again, I believe in democracy. I mean, the board is the elected it should be the elected representative of the parents of this county in terms of how this public school system is run. And what you've seen over the last several years is an antagonistic relationship. Maxwell, because he reports to the county executive, and then some members of the board on the other side. And lost in that argument, that constant argument, are the kids. And back to the earlier piece about the Carraway case, I want to be very clear about that. Yes, that guy should be under the jail. He was convicted, and he'll spend the rest of his life under the jail. But how in the world do you set up a system that has 900 teachers and paraprofessionals out of the classroom on paid leave for a year? You know, you might as well put an asterisk by that academic year because they're out of the classroom for months. And I think you need a dose of reality, just like the Post reported today. MS-13 is an international criminal organization.
Thank you.
Is also a safety issue for our kids
and
our public schools.
Thank you. Ms. Edwards, we've heard, even in my intro, I described Prince George's as one of the wealthiest counties in the nation, and it is. So what is the answer to improving the county system, the school system, other than throwing money at it?
I've looked at the county budget. We spend over $2 billion in our budget. It's 60% of our budget, but it's where we spend it that's all wrong. We spend so much money on our executive leadership, we should be spending that money in the classroom. We need to restore Head Start funding that this county lost because of mismanagement and ineffectiveness in monitoring Head Start. That provides money so that we can put it into our school system. We need to make sure that we have accountability and transparency when it comes to contracting in the school system.
Thank you so much. Same question, Ms. Alsobrooks. Other than money, how do we fix the Prince George's County school system?
Well, you know, it's not popular to say, but the truth of it is we've changed the budget. We've increased it every year. We've changed the CEO. We've changed the school board. And the thing that we have to recognize is that the responsibility of educating a child, first of all, it is the most profound responsibility of government. But the business of educating children is a community responsibility. And so until we engage families and parents and communities in the education of children, there is accountability that must happen with the schools. But guess what? We have to admit that unless we find a way to better engage parents and families and to remove the barriers to learning, including those who do not sleep well, are not well nourished, we can't improve it.
Mr. Muse, how do we engage parents and families?
First of all, when we look at what is happening in our school board today, it is very important to note that we do not have a money problem. We have a budget problem. Here's the real problem that we really don't look at. In 1995, Prince George's County was number 23 of the least performing school systems in the state out of 24. Here we are 23 years later, we're still the least performing system.
Why is
and
that?
The problem is there is a direct relationship between the curriculum and the so-called testing. We over-test kids. We take our teachers, and instead of allowing our teachers to teach, we don't do that at all.
Mr. Montero, is he right? Are we over-testing?
We absolutely are, and that's a broader conversation we have to have with Annapolis, because you're pushing the creativity out of the classroom. But I think as a question related to what can we do to engage parents and families, I mean, you have a couple of tracks. One, you have to talk about vocational. Stop saying college is everything, because like my father did with me when rent was due, get a job. We can't afford to stay in school, and that's why a lot of people leave. And you got to talk about career as much as you're talking about college, and that's part of my plan. Also having parent liaisons and having the support services in place for a lot of these immigrant parents that
Thank
are...
You.
Okay.
Thank you. Ms. Edwards, talk to me about teacher pay raises. Is that the answer? And this is why I ask this question. We've seen in years past in the District of Columbia, in past administrations, that achievement or merit pay raises for teachers were thought to be the answers. We've seen the graduation crisis controversy there as well, same as Prince George's. Are pay raises for teachers the answer? And in what way might they be the answer or not be?
Well, I mean, everything is part of an answer. We are hemorrhaging teachers. We're losing something like 15% of our teachers every year. We're losing teachers with experience. In our neighboring counties, Montgomery County, Fairfax County, Howard County, they're paying their teachers $10,000 to $20,000 more than we're paying our teachers. And so we can't afford to lose our best and brightest. We need to recruit them. We need to train them. We need to retain them in our system. And the way to do that is to make sure that they have salaries that are matched across the board in the region.
Thank you. Ms. Alsobrook, same question. How might money play a role as it relates to pay raises for teachers in improving the school system?
You know, it's pay raises, and so absolutely nobody can dispute that. It's similar to what we found in the state's attorney's office. We did not pay around the region. We found that people were paid about 20% more. This is a reason for people to leave. But the other thing we do is to burn out teachers. I've heard from teachers and principals that they feel traumatized by the experience of being in our school. They are demoralized. They feel the lack of support. So we need paraprofessionals in the classroom. Prince George's educates the largest number of disabled students, the largest number of students who speak English as a second language, and the second largest who are on free reduced lunch. We have a large struggling population and teachers need help.
Thank you. Mr. Montero, and this is a question for everyone. I'll start with you. Armed teachers, yes or no?
It's a terrible idea. It's a terrible idea, and you see it even with school resource officers around the country. They don't make schools safer. We lead the state in the number of students we arrest on campus. We are using Prince George's County Police as school discipline. These kids, good luck graduating, good luck getting a job. So to add armed teachers, that is a non-starter in my book.
Mr. Muse.
Well, it depends. I say arm them, but arm them with support. Give them the support that they need. Arm them with being able to come in and be the teachers in the classroom.
The question is firearms.
Absolutely not. That's just a no-brainer. That's a no. They don't need to be armed. What they need is to have the support that they need. And we need to be able to separate those students who have a tendency for violence into an alternative school situation until we can bring them back. They can't just roam freely.
Quickly, Ms. Alsobrooks and then Ms. Edwards.
So no, do not arm teachers, but you know what we must do is to attend to the mental health needs of our students. What we find is we have so many children. Hurt people hurt people. And we have a good number of students who sit home and watch trauma at night. These are kids who have no coping skills because they spend all their time on social media. We haven't taught them how to resolve conflict. Yeah. So they are not armed with the skills they need to resolve nonviolently.
Ms. Edwards, yes or no to the armed teachers? Real quick, because I've got to take a break.
No, we shouldn't arm them, and hopefully you'll come back to me after the break.
Yeah, we most certainly will. I'll let you finish that. We need to take a quick break, but we'll continue this conversation online at whur.com and, of course, on EbenezerAME.org. We will also take your questions from the audience and social media, so please stay with us for more of this special edition of the Daily Drum debate for Prince George's County Executive.
Welcome to the Orphan Diaries. Here is the president of Food for Orphans, Gary Van Dyke.
There are 141 HUR voices.
Election Day is around the corner in Maryland. Back now to Harold Fisher at Ebenezer AME Church for our special debate coverage.
Thank you all so much for staying with us. We are hearing from some of the candidates for Prince George's County Executive. We have Maryland State Senator C. Anthony Muse, Prince George's County State's Attorney Angela Alsobrooks, former Obama administration official Paul Montero, and former Maryland Congresswoman Donna Edwards. We're going to move on now to quality of life issues. That includes what's happening in your communities, public safety, crime, etc. Mr. Muse, according to the Washington Post, the number of homicides ticked up from 54 in 2014 to 98 in 2016. The number dropped last year to 79, but the numbers have consistently been at least more than twice of Montgomery County, our neighboring county. What's going on?
I think one, people are no longer concerned. Many of them are not concerned about life, and we're not putting into practice what we know will help to deter that. We have persons who are angry. We have joblessness. We have persons who, in terms of conflict management. Let's look at domestic violence, for example. When it comes to domestic violence, there's no one that can really sit down and begin to walk through this. As chair of the Domestic Violence Task Force, I was very instrumental in making sure that we put these things in place. We have no conflict management, conflict resolution, and murders are what they are, but it's up to us to come up with the programs to bring them down.
Thank you. Ms. Alsobrooks, same question.
Okay, so the facts are within the first 4 years, from 2011 to 2015, we saw a 40% decline in homicides in Prince George's County. This is the lowest crime rate we have seen since the 1980s. If you say what the problem is, we know very clearly what it is now. Stranger crimes have declined, but what's remained steady are violence in our families. Domestic violence is really killing our community. We have two other issues, mental health and substance abuse, the two issues that we have refused to address in our community, and they feed into what we're seeing in terms of family violence, which remains steady in our community.
Thank you very much. Ms. Edwards, same question. What's going on in Prince George's County, and why is it that our homicide rates are at least double that of our neighboring Montgomery County?
Well, I think you have to be careful when you take credit for a decrease in crime, because when there are increases in crime, you have to take responsibility. We have an increase in crime in domestic violence homicides, which are some of the highest in the state. We've seen, and as has been reported, a resurgence of MS-13. There are quality of life crimes dealing with, you know, breaking and entering and property crimes that have increased. And so it depends on where you live in the county. And so we need to concentrate our law enforcement resources in the places where we are seeing a resurgence of crime.
Ms. Edwards, if I may, because I want to make sure that, and this is not just directed at you, but to all of our candidates, the question was, why do you think it's happening more in Prince George's than it is happening in Montgomery County? Please, I'll let you answer again.
I don't know that this is a fair comparison. I think it's important when we look at crime to look at crime in Prince George's County, about where we're deploying our resources, about where we're concentrating the focus when it comes to crime and what kinds of crime we're looking at. Because we have a higher level, for example, of domestic violence homicides in Prince George's County, I think that we need to redouble the work that we're doing to address domestic violence homicides, providing transitional housing, shelter, making sure that we have services available to domestic violence victims. Those are things that we can do that really do address the crime issues we have.
Thank you. Mr. Montero, this is a critical question. Same question. What's the problem in Prince George's, and why does it seem that there are more murders here than there are in our neighboring counties?
I'll put Montgomery County aside. I would simply say for this county, the richest black county in America, what we've let happen is more than 10% of the population is now in poverty. And I'm not saying poverty excuses bad behavior, but I am saying we've written off entire communities inside the Beltway in this county. So some people are doing very well at National Harbor. That's great. But double-digit unemployment in some of these communities, you've been promising them for decades that help is coming. You know, and when you have a bunch of these second-class citizens now walking around, they come out of the criminal justice system. You won't hire them, won't give them a place to live. I mean, we have to build pathways for returning citizens to be reintegrated in the community.
Thank you. Ms. Alsobrooks, this brings me to the next question, which several of the candidates have already touched on. 2016 was a horrific year for deadly domestic violence in Prince George's County. Even someone such as myself, who has been doing this a long time and have seen a lot of it, I was shocked. So we know that you've been doing some work in your office, but if you become county executive, what might you do differently to curtail this horrific issue?
So again, domestic violence, much like what I feel about education, cannot be resolved at the courthouse or the police station. What we know now is that this must be resolved in our communities. And so I have engaged with the faith community to develop partnerships there. But we have to engage as well with nonprofit organizations and others who can help to deliver some of what we don't have. For example, 75% of all of the people who go to our correctional facilities every day are intoxicated when they get there. But we don't have even one detox center in Prince George's County. We don't deal well with mental health care. We have not dealt well with the issue of not having adequate child care for working parents. This is what we've seen.
Thank you. Mr. Muse, same issue as it relates to domestic violence. I want to stick with this just for a bit. Prince George's County, we know, and those of you who do not know, lacks adequate shelter for victims of domestic violence. How would you change that? How would you change it if you were county executive?
I'd like to build on what we've already done. 15 years ago, our church opened up the first church-owned domestic violence safe house in Prince George's County. I would like to continue to help others to do the same thing. Number two, this is one of the largest counties. We have that problem. I want to put the funding into it. That's why I chaired the state domestic violence task force, to make sure that we have funding and making that request to the governor. And then thirdly, I want to make sure that that the HIV domestic violence persons who are suffering domestic violence, I put $300,000 into opening one up here in our county.
Thank you so much. I want to move on to another quality of life issue. And I'll start with Mr. Montero. In some parts of Prince George's County, there are still abandoned homes, boarded up homes, neglected lawns. It looks like 2012 at the peak of the mortgage crisis. What can be done to turn that around? It is now 2018, and some of these communities have not changed.
Sure, because even as we're celebrating the biggest increase in our property values, we're still beneath the state average. So the average home is worth 274 or 270-something K. You look at Montgomery County, then the high threes are fours. We have a huge squatter problem. I think that's one. You got to lean on these financial institutions to be responsible about folks that are just picking up and living in these vacant homes. I think that's one. I think creating land banks to be sure that municipalities can pick up these vacant properties and spin them off to people that, you know, want to use them for some productive use. I was chagrined to see last year the way that the county tried to figure out a way to give away surplus property that put county employees at the front of the line. Like, shame on us, they tried it. You know, that foolishness like that.
Ms. Edwards, same question. How do we deal with this, the remnants of the mortgage crisis in the county?
Well, first of all, we still have a number of homes that are in foreclosure or going through foreclosure right now, so it's not completely over. I tried to get, and I actually did get, millions of dollars of housing money that came to Prince George's County that actually could have been used for transitional housing, to rehabilitate a housing that's in our communities. And unfortunately, it sat in Prince George's County, and then HUD took it away. And so we can't afford to give away those kind of opportunities. We need to reinvigorate trash pickup all around the county because it looks horrible. And make sure that we have incentives for teachers, law enforcement, and firefighters to live in our communities.
Thank you. Ms. Alsobrooks, trash pickup, twice a week, once a week, good idea, bad?
I think twice a week is a good idea. What we know is that Prince Georgians pay the second highest tax rate in the state of Maryland, and they deserve to have the government services that they pay for. That includes trash collection, cleaning the medians in the streets, making sure the litter is picked up and the leaves are collected. They pay the second highest tax rate in the state. It's a basic service that we deserve to have trash picked up 2 days per week.
Mr. Muse, same question. Twice a week, once a week, was it a good idea to end it twice a week?
As a senator, I was the first to say to the county executive in a formal letter that this was absolutely not only ludicrous, but what was even more ludicrous is that we took the trash contracts and we paid them the same amount of money to do once a week pickup as we did twice a week. We have to look at who's running the county, who's running the agencies. We have to look at the fact that the banks own many of these properties, so they say they put people out, then they don't want to take care of the property. Something is wrong with that, and until we get persons who really have the citizens at heart, we'll continue to look the way they want us to look.
Okay. Thank you. Real quick, Mr. Montero.
Don't be distracted by that.
No, I won't. But hold on. I have another question for you real quick. Why are we still seeing high grass in some of these communities?
It's a lack of accountability, just like trash. Baker wasn't trying to be a jerk. He needed to find $600K. And ask yourself, in a $4 billion system, why are you scrounging around for $600K? It is a spending problem in this county. And when you have, we have more municipalities than other counties in the state, the county kind of free rides because they know at the end of the day, the mayor of Hyattsville or the mayor of New Carrollton is going to cut that grass because people are calling them. And the county kind of coasts on that. I think it's a lack of accountability for services people are paying for, absolutely twice a week garbage collection. But the broader question is, like, how are you spending my money that you're even in a position be scrounged around for $600K?
Okay. The next topic is economic development. But I also want to invite those of you who do have questions, whether it's about economic development or anything, but please come to the microphone. We're going to continue to take questions or share these answers from our candidates. So just please be patient. And I would also like to say, please keep your questions short. No speeches, please. That's my job and the candidate's job. All right. So, Ms. Edwards, we have seen a lot of building and development over the past decade. National Harbor, a new casino, a hospital in the works. But quality shopping remains an issue in this county, and people are still going across the bridge to Tyson's. How would you retain those shoppers?
I think that we've had a wrong-headed economic development strategy, one that's very hodgepodge around the county, one that chases retail and restaurants instead of developing what I believe is a strong innovation corridor to bring high-wage jobs to the county, to bring a commercial base to the county, and then retail and restaurant follow that. I mean, that is basic economic theory, and we're not using it here when it comes to development. And it is the reason that I have said I am not accepting a dime of money from developers, because they are determining our destiny, and it's time for Prince Georgians to determine our own destiny.
Suffice it to say, that sounds like a shot at Ms. Alsobrooks. Ms. Alsobrooks, would you like to respond to that?
That's not fair. I didn't call out a candidate's name.
I said
what I am doing.
Well, let me say, I'll say it. Okay. We do know that Ms. Alsobrooks has received some development money, as all of you have.
I haven't received any development money.
No dime. Well, Ms. Alsobrooks, please respond.
So I take it that it's not a shot. I have received support from both small and large businesses and 15 labor unions representing 65,000 workers in Prince George's County. I have been supported by a wide range of individuals, and I think this is important to be able to walk into every room and negotiate on behalf of Prince Georgians. What we know is we have suffered not having quality retail, quality restaurants. We have food deserts all over Prince George's County. We have got to improve the amenities and the services that our citizens so desperately deserve.
Thank you. The way
that we will do that is the question about how to improve it. I thought you wanted
that was in response to Ms. Edwards.
We'll
get back to the development piece because I want to spend some time on it. And I do want Ms. Edwards to talk about this. This has also been in the news, the super PACs that have supported you. How do you respond to some of the attacks on Ms. Alsobrooks from the super PACs?
Well, first of all, it would be illegal for me to coordinate with those entities. I am not doing anything illegal. My understanding is that those entities are supported by labor unions that represent working people here in Prince George's County. And I'm not going to apologize either for myself or for somebody else who's supporting an increase in the minimum wage, project labor agreements, community benefits agreements, making sure that we do development in a responsible way and that money isn't traded under the table for favors over the table. I'm unapologetic about that. And I think in Prince George's County, it's time for us to control our own destiny.
Thank you. You have a question right here.
My question is regarding the quality of life of your aging residents, seniors, which I am now one of. I want to know, what are you going to do about rent control, tax decrease, and the grass that you're talking about not being cut? Many of those homes were owned by seniors who could no longer afford them. What are you going to do as county executive to make my life better?
Who are you directing your question to? Who do you want to answer the question?
All of them.
Well, I won't have time for that, but but since you are blessed to be a senior, I'll have the youngest person start, Mr. Montero.
That's the million-dollar question, because what's happened in Washington, D.C. over the last 20 years is happening in this county. And if you're not careful, I celebrate development. I celebrate prosperity as long as it's shared. And what you're doing development at the expense of people that made this county. So I fully support honoring our elders, the ability to age in place, hold them harmless against some of these severe tax increases, making sure the food deserts that require so many seniors to take two buses to even get some groceries. We have to address these basic issues. And you're paying for these services, too. So I think this community is worth saving, and these are the pillars of the community that we have to say hold harmless against some of these severe tax increases.
Thank you, Mr. Montero. Mr. Muse, same question. How will you take care of the seniors?
Thank you very much. In my years as a Senate, particularly the last 3 or 4 years, I've put in a bill each year for rent stabilization to stabilize rent for our seniors. I have also been able to get an $800 a month for those who are low income to have some way of adding on to their monthly bill, to their income, so that they're able to do what they need to do. It's very important. We don't have affordable housing. We don't have affordable housing. We're not building affordable housing. And the tax structure for seniors is absolutely wrong.
We need
to revisit that. We're taxing them too much.
Thank you. Ms. Alsobrooks, I'd like you to take this next question.
Oh,
yes, sir.
May I answer Pat Fletcher's question?
Go help yourself.
Okay, thank
Go
you.
Ahead.
So I'm glad that Pat asked the question, because you know what? This gives me a chance to talk about the fact that it's important not just to understand policy, which I do, but the people that the policies impact. Pat Fletcher lived in Village Green. I met with her and all of her constituents when they were treated unfairly. Actually sat when they had an election to change the board structure that was robbing the people who lived there, increased water, and sat there until they got it right in her. Not only did I make sure the policies were fair, but I personally came to Village Green to sit with Pat Fletcher and all of the elderly residents in her apartment to make sure that the election is done fairly.
The next question from the audience will be from Ms. Edwards. Go right ahead, sir.
I want to thank you for asking that question, because it was part of where I'm leading with this. But with all the smart economic development that we're going to do in this county, how are we going to make sure that our seniors age in place and not tax out of our districts?
Thank you.
Such an important question. And I believe in, even as we're developing around our metro infrastructure, which I think is really important, that it's also important for us to develop mixed income housing. So because those are actually safer communities when there are mixed incomes, and because they're safer communities and better communities, quality of communities for our seniors. And I do think that we have to look at ways in which we can make sure that other expenses that seniors encounter, prescription drugs and health care, also are stabilized.
Thank you. Mr. Muse and Mr. Montero, when we were talking about receiving money from developers, both of you said you did not. Mr. Muse, why haven't you?
I have not received money from developers, number one, because I've not sought it. I do have money from small developers and small minority developers, because those are the people that I'm trying to empower. I'm trying to empower and get us away from the fact that in Prince George's County, just as a government, with all the contracts that we give out and that they are allowed to receive, only 2% of those contracts are going to minority businesses. And so I've been an advocate. It is a shame that we're 85% of the population, but a few of the developers control what happens with development.
Thank you. Mr. Montero, same question. Why haven't you taken donations from developers?
Because money comes with strings. I haven't taken money there, but I think back to the senior question, I think we have to talk about transportation.
No, hold on. I want you to finish answering the question. Money comes with strings. Please elaborate.
Sure. The expectations that come with that, I am not a usual suspect in local politics. I think a lot of folks have chosen who they want to be the next county executive, and I'm not the one these special interests have chosen. That's their right. But the average donation I'm getting is about $200. We've raised over $100,000 just from individuals that say they believe in my ability based on my record.
Thank you.
To bring change to this county.
Thank you. Next question.
My question is, and I think I've asked this before in another forum, is if you are not the successful candidate, how are you going to support that candidate that is successful, and how would you remain engaged in the county if you do not prevail?
Oh, Ms. Also Brooks.
And so, you know, I've spent my entire career working here in public service. I was hired at 25 in 1997 as a prosecutor in this county. I have no intention on leaving now. This is my home. I have spent a career here, and I will continue to advocate and to work for Prince Georgians because I not only love them, but I know them well and understand how to move our county forward. So I will certainly stay engaged to make sure that we are attending to the needs of Prince Georgians.
This next question for Mr. Muse.
Actually, this question is for Ms. Edwards.
Okay.
As all of you talk about, really, accountability, I've called your office several times when you were in office and did not get a response. And everyone keeps talking about constituent services and being responsible and responsive. You were not responsive and reliable for me. So as county executive, what can we expect from you that will be different?
1 minute. Please go right ahead.
Thank you very much for the question. I mean, what I can say is that over the course of the time that I was in Congress, we received more than 80,000 calls and responded more than 80,000 calls for various services, for veteran services, to help people retain their homes from foreclosure, to making sure that people got their medical benefits and their Social Security. In a county this size of 1 million people, I think any elected officials tries to be as responsive as possible to the people who reach out to his or her office. I continue to make that commitment to the people of Prince George's County, and I upheld that commitment as a member of Congress.
Thank you so much. We need to take another quick break, but when we come back, we will have more questions, including questions from the audience. During this break, we will still engage our candidates, so certainly we will continue this conversation online, on WHUR.com, also on EbenezerAME.org, and certainly we'll take questions from the audience as well as social media. So when we come back, each candidate will get a chance to make a closing statement, so please stay with us.
From the Press Box to Press Row, celebrating 11 years on...
This is a special edition of the Daily Drum. Now, back to Harold Fisher and his guests at Ebenezer AME Church in Fort Washington, Maryland.
Thank you so much. Welcome back. We are in the final minutes of our special debate presentation. We will now hear closing statements from each candidate. You each have a minute. We started with Mr. Muse. Now we will start with Ms. Edwards. Ms. Edwards.
As an executive analyst and activist in my community where I've lived for 35 years, I bring a wealth of experience to the Office of County Executive. From my time in a nonprofit organization to my time at Lockheed in the space program to a philanthropist giving out more than $50 million to organizations across the country and here in Maryland. And of course, my time in the United States House of Representatives. I bring a wealth of experience. It is time for Prince George's County to control our own destiny. Like many residents here, I wasn't born here, but I'm committed to this county. And I enter the office unbound by the influences of big developers and outside interests who have too long controlled this county. And I'll be prepared on day one to make the tough decisions in the interest of our residents.
Thank you so much.
And I look forward to representing you as county executive.
Thank you, Ms. Edwards. Mr. Montero, 1 minute.
So I served for President Obama on his White House staff for 5 years. I ran the Domestic Peace Corps for 2 years, a budget of $100 million. I ran the mediation program at the Justice Department. Not because I'm a hard worker, not because I'm smart. God bless me. And with this campaign that I ran and launched 10 months ago, getting the endorsement of the AFRO, raising more than $100,000 from small donors, it's not because I'm charismatic. It's because people are tired of the same old program in this county, and 2018 has to be different. With education, you have to build those pathways to the workforce. With restorative justice, reintegrate these people that have paid their debt to society. And build a culture of stewardship. These county contracts, these county grants, these county services are not favors we do for you. You pay for this. But we've been accustomed to a second-class level of customer service in this county because there's been a stunning lack of accountability. And I'm not running as the answer man. I'm running as the man that is unowned and is going to call a spade and make this organization work better with your help. Those 4 out of 5 Democrats that don't even vote in these elections.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much, Mr. Montero. Ms. Also Brooks.
Over the last 14 years, I have worked in Prince George's County leading 2 agencies very successfully. I have done so not only because I understand policy, but because I understand the people of Prince George's County. During that time, I have been effective not only as your prosecutor, I have delivered results for Prince George's County. In fact, I have delivered in such a way that I was endorsed by the Washington Post. I've been supported by small and large businesses, and I've been supported by labor unions, 15 of them representing 65,000 Prince Georgians. I have a record that is unquestionable, is undeniable, and that's why a super PAC from Virginia has spent almost $1 million in a smear campaign, because I have undeniable record, I have unblemished integrity, I have delivered with passion for this community, and they have nothing left to criticize me for. They have nothing negative to say about me. I will continue to serve you. You know me. You have seen me in your churches and homeowner associations.
Thank you.
I know Prince Georgians, and I will continue
Thank
to
you.
Serve you.
Thank
in
you,
your
Ms. Alsobrook. Mr. Mews, 1 minute.
I want to thank you for hearing us tonight, and I want to say this. I came before you 16 years ago to say, if you elect me, I will be open, I will be honest, and I will not be a puppet to the powers to be. And what we still have, and the reason I want to be county executive, is because we still have a president of the Senate and 3 or 4 developers who support their candidates through these ballots that you get, telling you who to elect so that they themselves can continue to run this county. I will put an end to that. I have delivered in Prince George's County. I said I would deliver in my district. I have $300,000 for my sister's keeper, which is an AIDS, HIV AIDS housing, $300,000 for renovation at Farts Heights Community Center, a new Avalon Elementary School, a renovated Oxon Hill School, $100,000 for Camp Springs Elks Lodge, $100,000, on and on. I deliver, I will deliver, and I want to be your county executive. Thank you.
Thank you all, and thank you all for participating in this. And just as excited as you all are today, you need to be just as excited in 2 weeks. Okay? That primary election is on June 26th. Just as an aside, remember that the Supreme Court voted just yesterday to remove people from the rolls who have not voted in 2 years. You need to remember that. I want to thank all the candidates for participating. Also, a very special thank you to the Prince George's County Chamber of Commerce, the County NAACP, and of course, Ebenezer AME Church, our live and listening audience. I'm Harold Fisher. Thank you for joining us, and I'll see you on June 26th. Good night.
Good night. Good night. The Howard University.